Good morning. find myself here again quicker than I thought I would, but it's good to be here. It's good to be with saints. And I'm going to start, this is going to be kind of part two of what my message was a couple weeks ago. And in some regards, I'm going to start the same way. So if you want to follow or just listen, I'm going to start with Psalm 45, 1 and 2. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. I start with that verse again because that's what I want to happen again. I want the things that I've been chewing on as I read the Word to just be about the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. That's what I want to fellowship with you in this time. I want Him to be proclaimed. God, the Son, has come. He is the Messiah. He is our life. It's about Him. The Father wants it to be about Him. That's how He receives glory. The Spirit, if He's working through me in remembering the things that I've chewed on for a couple weeks, they're going to be things of the Son of God, our great God and Savior who laid down His life on our behalf. So that's why I start there. And I want it to be, again, I think I mentioned this verse, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to have listened enough that this is, in my mind, the part of the heart that just is been overwhelmed with God's goodness. And thus, that's what comes out in this. So we're going to start again, just because we're going to step off of last time's. We're going to start in Hebrews 10. And if you want to turn there and just refresh your mind with Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Again, more for the intention of where we're going. So we went through Hebrews 10, through the whole thing. That was kind of the outline that I was working from. And the end of it was the exhortation part. And so Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So again, the intention of this time we have together is this. I want my confession, the things that come out of my mouth, to be Him. He is our hope. He has given us the sure promise of the once for all that Bruce talked about. This is who we're talking about. This is our King. And so I also want to do it in a mindset of verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So as I proclaim this confession, this hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I consider us and all of our one another relationships, I want it to stir up in you what it stirs up in me, and that's these good works, this encouragement in our walk. That's the goal. So with that, we're going to go back just to remember this portion in Hebrews 10. And it is Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. Just remember with me as I read. And He said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that He may establish the second. That's 9. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, as Bruce mentioned. Okay, so just this reminder. Remember, the first covenant, the law has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it. The only one that could. It wasn't a tutor for him. He fulfilled it. For us, it was a tutor to show us that we just are crumbs. We can't. We can't do it. We try. It points out what sin is. We fail. Points out what sin is. We fail. Do a sacrifice because that's what doesn't please the Lord, but that's what he wants in the law system. It shows us that's when we're doing that, we know in our hearts we're falling short of righteousness. Okay? So that points us to the Father. This is before we know Christ. This points us, or this is the Jewish time, points us to the Father that says, you know, I'm going through the motions, I'm doing it, but I know that ultimately it's by you, because I'm still no better. The blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. All it is this obedience by faith, and that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we know it is today, but in the Old Testament, that's faith in Yahweh, okay, and what was coming. So that's the takes away the first. That's the first system to establish the second, okay? The second is totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he fulfilled the law, fulfilled it perfectly, remained sinless, walked this earth perfectly. I mean, just to think about that. Every day, every decision, communion with the Father, righteously before men, with temptation ramped up more than you and I bear, didn't fail once. He was the sacrifice that pleased the Father, spotless, without blemish, innocent. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, God's Son, who stepped out of heaven, stepped out of eternity to be the only one that could fulfill this first, to establish the first. Okay, it's done, accomplished. The second. And that's what we're going to talk about, the implications of the second. Okay, he takes away the first thing that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once for all. I just want to remember the will. By that will. That's referring to, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Okay? That's the will. By that will, and God's will was that the Son is crushed. That the Son is that sacrifice that satisfies his righteousness, that has blood. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Okay? That's what we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ once for all. That's the let's get on the same mindset where we left off a couple weeks ago. That's what we're talking about. And we're going to jump to Romans 8. Okay, and Romans 8 will be our outline for the rest of the time. So, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I've probably just been through training or repetition in the years of being under good teaching. When I see a therefore, you look to see why it's therefore. Okay, what it's there for. So I always like to go back a little bit, not to go, you know, just keep going back. But in 7, let's read the last two verses. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. I want you to see that this mindset, and if you remember in chapter 7, That's the, I'll just read, for the good that I will do, I do not do. For the evil that I will not do, that I practice. That's the, I'm not doing what I want to do. I know what to do, but I can't do it. It's this battle that we have. And I want to say, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How similar is that from Israel of the Old Testament? I'm just thinking of this now. How similar is that? I do these things, Lord, in this sacrificial law system, and I know that I'm a wretched man. I know that the blood didn't do it. Here's the difference. They didn't have an answer. They came up with, Lord, I'm on my knees. It's up to you. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm walking by faith. I'm failing in faith. But it's to point us, or them, to Christ. Us, we look back on. The answer is still the same. We say, O wretched man that I am, if we find ourselves in this battle, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who delivers us. That delivery, deliverance, is done. Okay? Israel of the old was looking for it. We have a point in time that we are to look back to. By looking back to the Lord Jesus Christ and that event, okay, that deliverance, that truth is how we then proceed in future and how we walk, okay? That I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So if I'm in my flesh, I'm still struggling in my own power, and we're back to the law of sin, which has been done. It's been completed. It's been fulfilled in Christ. Okay? So just follow along with me and I'll break out of this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do we believe that? I'm going to say that a whole bunch of times today. Do we believe that? There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself and you know what puts you in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law, so you're not to be walking according to the law, because it's done, so that in the mindset of Christ, and I'm in Christ, you realize that He's done away with, or fulfilled, is the better way. Because the law is good. The law is good. It points us to Christ. It's good. The things about it are good. The only problem is it doesn't give us righteousness. It is righteous, but it doesn't give us righteous. Okay? It shows us death. Okay? It shows us that the wages of sin is death. But according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I just want to remind you, Hebrews 10. He has fulfilled the first to establish the second. Okay, this is short time again. Remember where we're at. This is New Testament. This isn't long past the event of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is fresh. It should be fresh to us, but this is fresh. The Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth not too long before this time. Okay, there's still contemporaries that witnessed it. There's still people that got firsthand accounts from apostles. That's who we're talking about. Okay, that's why this clarification of the law of the Spirit versus the laws of sin and death. So made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son. In the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, as you think of those, if you're listening and following along, what does that bring your mind to? When I'm reading that, what it takes, you know, opens this file that we have from either reading the scripture or teaching of Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Nicodemus meets with the Lord at night, and Jesus comes to him and says, you know, marvels that you don't know what I'm talking about. And he says, you must be born again. He's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. And Nicodemus is confused and says, how will I enter into my mother's womb again? That's birth. And Jesus says, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. So he's talking about this spiritual life and separating what he's dealing with. Okay, the law that Nicodemus is operating in is the law of sin and death. It's according to the flesh. We're trying to work righteousness out of death, out of our bodies of flesh, and failing. So Nicodemus is trying to, can't make that separation. I'm sure he did after the fact, but the Lord is pointing out to him, I'm talking about the spiritual. I might get this quotation wrong. I think somebody pointed it out at the Reading conference. But how we view this life is key. And I think it was this person quoting C.S. Lewis, just with the consideration that our life is not a body housing spirit, but our spirit is the life found in a body. This body is so nothing in the sense of it all. And if you think about it like that, and then you consider the truths of the Lord, this makes so much sense. Like, this is always about the spiritual, okay? We have a body to work out righteousness, which God wants to receive glory through. We're made in His image. He made creation for His glory, and we're part of that. But the bigger thing is this spirit. This soul that He has put in us is the thing that goes on. I mean, He gives us a new ever, you know, as believers, we have the hope for a new body that we're given, okay? One that's without corruption and doesn't end just like our soul. But our soul is the constant in there. And that by His grace, again, entering into this second, we're walking in His Spirit. Our spirit has been regenerated upon His grace. Okay, I'm not trying to lose you. I'm just reading through it and wanting to make this distinction that the one is of the flesh, the other is of the spirit. Okay, but there is this battle because we do still have this body and we do still live in the world where there are people that don't have regenerated. So, and they look just like us, and sometimes we act just like them. Okay, so there's that confusion in that battle. Okay, but for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is to recognize, back to verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Do you have peace? Let me read that again. Life and peace. You have life and peace because of the Lord Jesus Christ's life and the peace that He gives. Because there's no condemnation. You're not feeling and walking in guilt. You're not struggling in your efforts. You're equipped by Him. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, I want to just... I want you to read those or listen to those things with truth and understanding. We recognize that there's this battle. We recognize that prior to salvation, we're flesh only, right? We have a soul, but we have no power in it. It's just flesh. It's death. Okay? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace that we can't even fathom, because we had nothing to offer Him, yet He chose us and gave us life. In the apologetics realm, one of the arguments is how could, you know, I'm just winging it here, but I'm remembering that it's believers that do this. That how can God punish the world? You know, what did they do? It's not about that. It's consider, and I know I didn't finish that sentence. I do that a lot. But the point is, we were just like them. It's not what about them. It's why us? That's the better question. The better perspective is, we're all in that same boat. Why did He pull us out? Okay? Sin entered the world in Adam. It's been here ever since. Since then, it's going this way. You know, he judged the world once at Noah's time and saved six. Okay? Or eight. Sorry, eight souls. Because of Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? It was always the Lord. It's always been about grace. It's always been about His decision. But sin has been there. The question isn't about why them. It's why us? Why are these people in this room and so many buildings and in secret, why are they worshiping Yahweh and His Son, the King, the Messiah? It's by His grace. It's only that. It's only that gives us this, even eyes to read this book with some understanding. Okay? So just, my point was, but it's saying, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So I want to just point this out. The Spirit of God indwells you if you're saved, if you're reborn, if you're born again. Whatever phrase you want to put it, it's the transaction that God did. His Spirit indwells in you. Okay? I don't want you to read that like, if your performance is good, the Spirit's in you. Because it's talking about flesh here. Okay, let me read this again. And there's two ways to look at it. If you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he's saying, and I could say this to the church, you know, anybody sitting out here. If you're saved, the Spirit lives in you. It's not about what you're doing. It's about what He did. That's a big nut to crack. It's a big hurdle to get over. Because if you're saying you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed, well, the Spirit's not in me because look at the way I'm acting. No, the Spirit indwells you because of that transaction that happened. Okay? Now, let me back up a minute, not with retracting any of that, but saying that there is a fellowship issue. The light has no fellowship with darkness. So if you're in sin, if you're in this battle of flesh and spirit, and you're given over to flesh for a while, or, you know, consistently this one dogs you, and you find yourself there, then then yeah, there's a fellowship issue. There's a, you know, he gives you the equipment to deal with that, by the way, 1 John 1:9. And cleansed, if we confess, oh, dogged again, Father. And maybe with weeping, you know. Yeah, I failed again. It's once for all. The all, as Bruce said, it's all. It's all sin. Okay, it's all the people that sin. And it's all the sin. It's all. Okay? I just want to make that distinction, because that understanding is going to come into play when we finish out this chapter. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, I had confessed that I don't have notes. I do have like a half page of chicken scratch if I get lost. But really, this is... from the abundance of the heart that God has put. Like, as I'm reading this, you know, I didn't stand in front of the mirror and go down through this, and then I'm going to say that. No. So I'm surprised sometimes the things that God puts to my mind that connect the dots, and there's so many connections in the Word of God. Every time, whether I'm studying for Sunday school or youth group teaching or more so for these, it is so rich. The fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father is so rich because the Spirit is just illuminating. Oh, you want wisdom? That's what I like to give. Just get in my Word. That's where you find it. You know, if you're listening, oh, you want wisdom? Okay, if you want it, I'm going to give it to you. If you're here going through the motions because you think that's righteous, obedience is good, and it will bring forth habits that then will be beneficial and allow fruit. But if you want it, that's what he likes to give, because it's concerning his Son. So let me see if he brings it back to my mind, because I forgot what I was going to say. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, there it is. So, this body is doomed. This body, every body sitting in the chair, is going to die. Because sin. Adam sinned. I think you would all agree, if Adam wouldn't have sinned, there wouldn't be death in the world. And he would have lived in the garden in fellowship with the Lord, and it would have been good. That's what we'll have later. Bodies that don't decay, okay? But this body is nothing to the Lord. It's not about it. It's about the Spirit and his fellowship with the Spirit, okay? So I want to say, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is righteousness. It's in you. He's given you Christ's righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwell in you. Again, these are just things. I want to get to the end because I'll camp there for a while. This is not the camping part as far as my notes say. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Let us be led by the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Let us submit to him, not to flesh. Let's let the battle, remember, this is on the heels of chapter 7. And this is Paul that's saying, I have this battle. That what I want to do, I don't do. That what I know to do, but he's saying, when I sin, it's the flesh. It's that old man. It's that I just haven't crushed him totally. But when I do well, it's not to my credit. That's what he's saying. It's not to my credit. It's the spirit that has been renewed or remade in me. Okay? For you did not receive the spirit of the bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have a righteous Father. We have the ability to be called the children of God because of His transaction. And I want you to remember this word, this little two-letter word. We. Just remember that. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Please remember, we. Please remember, together. And then this one thing, and then I'm going to jump. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I just want to remind us all. It's not that they're... He's not belittling the sufferings. We got them. They're just nothing in comparison to the hope of this life. Have that mindset. There are sufferings. There will be sufferings if you're not in them now. If you're pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ in a world of darkness, there will be sufferings. But they're nothing that compared to the glory that will be revealed. I'm going to jump to 27 and continue. I mean, there's a lot in 19 through 26, but I think I'd get sidetracked even just reading through it. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected and at the right hand of the Father. Christ is approved by the Father. It's what pleases Him. It's His Son. Okay? He is making intercession. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Remember also what the will of God was. We read it in Hebrews 10. It's that the Lord Jesus Christ be crushed for us. Okay, so this event back here, the Lord takes on a body according to the will of God, lives perfect, innocent according to the will of God, is the sacrifice that satisfies the Father, and His resurrection, which we believe, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's at the right of the Father. Just His presence is saying He makes intercession for us. So it's big to get your head around. But that's why there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because He's right there making intercession. Oh, yeah, they failed. Just His presence paid for. That's not a surprise. Okay? 28, which we all know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Those, I'm going to take liberty to jump. Those whom he foreknew, he glorified. There are steps in the way. I mean, the predestined and conformed to the image and called and justified. But it's ultimately those whom he foreknew, ultimately they're glorified. So, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't seem like it works out all the time. Like, I love God and, boy, things are bad sometimes. I love God. I mean, I would say that condition, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, if you're believing the Bible, if you're believing the Word of God, it's true. So it's a matter of then correcting your thinking to see how that is true. Not putting it under the microscope of your experience and saying, I don't know about that one. I want us to believe the Bible. I want us to believe the Word of God because it's sure. And I want us to have the mindset, and I think rightly with this, because you can look at martyred believers and say, oh, it didn't work out. I think with godly mindset it did. Because if this body is nothing, and the Spirit is really the fellowship we have with the Father, only to be getting a new body and eternal fellowship with him, I think the martyrs make out pretty good for eternity, right? That's the truth in the Word of God. So let us not put it under our experiential microscope and say, oh God, I gave to this poor guy. I thought your Word said that I would get back tenfold. That was what I was banking on. And they're taking my house. They took my car. I lost my job. Like, I gave and then I lost my job. This is true. Look for God's viewpoint of how he works that to the good, to your good. I mean, you could sit here and conjecture about why, and I don't know. I don't know. There's so many variables that God has control of. I don't know. Does he let you suffer in that way so that you can be the light or the strength for somebody else? Possibly. Did he need to teach you something because he knew your heart and you were really, that was of the flesh? You know, and I need to teach you. I'm not worried about your flesh. The giving, I could have taken care of that guy some other way. So I want it to be your heart right before the action is rewarded. I don't know. But I know that this is true. Okay? All right, so I'm just going to read the end and then camp out on some things. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I could start there on today and fill the time. Here's the thing. In the last teaching, I was reminded that I said this. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you. The law, you can't do it. The work is going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it. The glory of the Father goes through the Son. I want to change that today. No, I don't take it back, but I want to put our focus. It's not about us, but He is. God the Father is about us. He's about His Son, and His Son is about us. He's about His Son, and if you're about His Son but not about each other, you're not about really what the Son's about. You can't sidestep us, the fellow heirs of the kingdom of God, just like you can't worship God without the Son. That's how He has this picture for us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's for us. His devotion proved it. Ultimately, no greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down their life for a friend. Jesus did that. He had opportunity, eyes wide open, knew what was coming, and did it. No greater love. So if He's for us, if I could just pick this apart, if God is for us, who can be against us? So if we say yes to the first, right? Do we all agree that that's proven? If God is for us, and we're talking about those whom He knew, okay? That's the us, His children, His heirs. That's right on the heels of 28, okay? For whom He foreknew, jump to the end, those He glorified. Okay, He justified, He predestined, all those things are in the middle. But ultimately, what's happening, our hope that is sure, is glorification. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him choosing us by grace. Because we're in that boat. It's not about where they're going, it's about why are we His children. So let's say we can all sign down on, if God is for us, yes, He is. Then who matters that's against us? Because I think we could say who could be against us. Well, I could list a whole bunch of people, you know, because the world is full of people that are against God and thus against me if I proclaim the light. But who matters? Who matters in this life? I love the Colombian brother, Xavier. And I loved in the reading of it when it said, and 12 years. Like, it's kind of like he had this calling and he's doing this stuff, and you kind of get lost, you know, he's being persecuted. But then you realize that it's been 12 years. If God's for us, what dictator in the world matters if they're against us? If God is for us, and we obey Him, and go to Colombia knowing that everybody says there's gangs and paramilitary and darkness, you're going to get killed. And you know, and I love that, I know that His calling is calling me there. Bring on death. Because in this book it says, that's a good thing for eternity. Let me sacrifice this snap of time for eternity, rewarded as a martyr for the King who also gave His life for us. We should be okay with that. Who can be against us? Who matters? And he says what we're saying. Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. So let's make the distinction, or not make the distinction, that the Son's different from the Father. The Father is for us. He gave His Son. The Son is for us. Willingly laid down His life. Willingly, I mean, the laying down His life was awful. Let's remember the 33 years-ish of world life. To live righteously in darkness. To see inhumanity to man. To see the thing that you set up. The faith that you instilled being so twisted that it's so wrong. That's not what I wanted. I mean, he says that a number of times. So let's remember that they're like-minded. Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Let's picture that again. Just his presence. If there was this happening, darts are flying, Satan's, I don't think that is actually happening. But, you know, what about him? You just look to the right. There's the risen Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, the wages of sin is death. Okay, death, done. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Oh, sin? Shedding of blood. It's just his presence is the intercession. Okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution... So, the first statement is who. Because usually those are the harder things, I think. The who's. Those we care about that might be anti-us for a season. Does it matter? It's not going to separate you from Christ. Shall tribulation, you might have that. Shall distress, might have that. Do those matter? No. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Also remember, and I like to remember our context. Who is he talking to? Romans. Where is persecution really ramped up against Christians early on? I don't know the timing of this. I haven't studied that much. But it's got to be going on. You're in a world government territory that it's polytheistic and likes to kill people who show any sign of disloyalty. You're saying my allegiance is for the one who you already killed, who said he was king. I believe him to be king. That's where my allegiance is. So I'm not worshiping your God. So all of these things, are you economically cut off? You might have famine. Nakedness, possibly. Peril, you're walking down the street, it's godlessness. That's where you're walking. You know, there's not rule of law that's good other than the fear of Rome or sword. Okay, persecution is there. Yet in all of that, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us because he conquered death. That's the big one, right? That's the big one. Oh, what could be worse than death? I actually think there's a lot of things that could be worse than death. The process of getting to death sometimes. But I want to read this last one and then we're going to just have an exhortation time. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through him who... That's where we're conquerors. It's through him. Not, don't go back to the system one and it's your doing. It's your strength in the flesh. That's not where we're more than conquerors. It's not your performance in your own strength. Okay? For I am persuaded that neither death... And I think this one is interesting. Nor life. This is in this list. And we know that it can separate us from the love of God. Death is nothing. because this body is nothing. Okay? Life, I think, is the interesting one. Because that encompasses all these things that we think might separate us from the love of God. What's life encompass? Every detail that you have. And it's different than my details. It can't separate you. Is sin part of life? Yeah. Can it separate? No. Is unforgiveness part of life? Yep. Is failure part of life? Yeah. All those things. We're going to go back to that. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created, any other created thing. That includes yourself. You can't separate yourself from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The encouragement is this. Last week, I was pointing out that it's not about you, and it's so easy to get caught up in ourselves. I want to encourage us to have this mindset for each other. And when I say each other, I mean the people in this room, but everybody in this room has their own each others that fail them, that offend them, that offend somebody who you like. If they're in the us category, you better have the mindset that the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father have for them. Because nothing separates them from Him. Who are we to let something, life, it's not even death, something listed here, they're all inclusive. Who are we to let that separate us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let us be for one another. Let us be, ramping off of Hebrews 10, considering one another. Let us look at failures as those things that God does. It doesn't separate. Yeah, it's failure. Yeah, it was an obvious one. Yeah, that was a repeated one. That's encompassed in life. Let us not try to be bigger in righteousness than God the Father. Let us not try to be more righteous than His Son and have ready judgment for those who are maybe victims of these things. A time of persecution, a time of failure. Okay? Let us run to their aid because it's us. We could be that person. That's what we would want. We would want mercy. We would want aid. We would want devotion. Now, how you do that is a different thing. And maybe it's a rocky road figuring it out because you never experienced that before. Figure it out. It's worth it because it doesn't separate Brother A, Brother B, Sister A, Sister B, X, Y, Z. It doesn't separate them from the Father. It doesn't separate them from the Son. And this life is nothing. Eternity and God's mindset of the Spirit, and I gave them new life. That's the mindset I want to have. I want to figure it out. I want to figure out when I consider each person here and the other people that are in my life that aren't in your life that are part of the us. I want to figure out and consider them, how to build them up in their walk with the Lord. And I might not do it right. I might in my attempt of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because that's the standard. That's the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. You're not going to get the one without the other. Okay. You're not going to bypass loving his people and just go to the thought, I'm just going to love the Lord, skip his people. You're not. This is how we know that we love the children of God. That we love God and keep his commandments. So the one you has to be first. You can't love his people without loving God. But I think it's reversed too. We sang a song today, and the old one, In the Secret. And there are lines in there I think people have trouble with. In the second verse especially, the throwing everything aside out of my way. I can sing that in purity of heart, knowing before the Father that I fail at that. Okay? That I don't probably throw everything aside out of my way. Because there's a battle going on. But that's my heart. That's what I want to do. But the chorus. I want to know you more. I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. I'm telling you, you see his face in his people. You hear his voice through his word and through possibly his people. That's how he interacts with us today. He says, if you've done this to the least of my brother, you've done it to me. I just want us to have that heart, God's heart, for us. If those people are in your life, the us and the we's, have his heart. Work it out. Figure it out. Get to the point that there is, on your end, as much as you can determine, I'm devoted to you. There's nothing that separates us. As much as it can be about your choice. The problem is there's a two-way street and they're both follied. You know. So, but as much as it can be about you, let your heart be as the Lord's is. He has done away with the first, that which is of the flesh effort, and established the second. It's about him. It's about Christ. It's not about us, but he is. He is devoted to us, and we should be towards each other. So, please do that along with me.